This is Benefits Like a Boss.
Welcome to the Benefits Like a Boss podcast, supported by Nonstop Administration and Insurance Services. Nonstop is a mission-driven employee health benefits advisor and third-party administrator, and we are committed to building health equity while reducing the cost of health insurance for employers and employees. For information on how to get better benefits for less, visit us at nonstopwellness.com.
Hey, welcome everyone to the Benefits Like a Boss podcast. Now, over the last year, we've worked really hard to highlight and celebrate leaders and some industry experts who are out there making a difference in the world. On today's episode, we're going to revisit the conversations over the last year and recap some of the highlights. Some even better news, for the very first time, I get to have both of my co-hosts with me, Natasha Orozco and Derek Smith. Welcome, you guys.
Thanks.
Yay!
Yay! We're all together. I'm excited about this.
Hey, Natasha.
Hey. You guys, I'm really excited to see you guys, to hear you guys, to be with you guys. I just am. I don't know.
Tell me
about it. I haven't seen you guys in so long.
I know.
So it's nice. It's nice to be here with you guys.
You are all missed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just one of those years, you know. I'm excited for us to all get back together. I'm excited for us to be doing the show together.
Definitely.
Recap the year, and Natasha, I'm going to kind of start talking a little bit about the Doug Smith interview, because that one was a really good one, and I feel like I still reference the show.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not even exactly sure which part we should talk about, so I'm going to let you choose. Mm-hmm. But that being said, you know, the fact that Doug just grew that rural community health center along with his team, of course, because he's always very cautious to say that it was him and his team.
Yeah.
From one provider to where they are now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And he does it without sounding pretentious, he does it with full heart, yeah. You know, and good intention.
Yeah. Super authentic. When I think about the Doug Smith interview, Doug did it and does it and will continue to do it out of a truly authentic desire to improve the lives of the community.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came to the health center movement from a totally different sort of space, a totally different sector. I mean, I think that he was in theater at some point, and then there was other career endeavors. And so this is something that he was drawn to out of a sort of pure and authentic passion to improve the lives of disenfranchised community members, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that it really speaks to the power of intention. If you don't study it, if you don't know it, if you didn't grow up with it, if, you know, you didn't have any sort of academic exposure to it or professional exposure, if you have mm-hmm. a true passion, there is a way, and there's a way to be successful. And that's by being authentically connected to other human beings.
Really nicely said.
And it also really compels me every time I hear someone say Rome wasn't built in a day, because mm-hmm. so often we want instant gratification, right? And so that's where we are in life right now. I want to see something on TV, and I have 50,000 channels, right? And I want to, you know, so we want instant gratification. If we don't get it, then we get bummed, right? Then it's a real mm-hmm. impact. And so I really loved that he took that moment to say, we've accomplished all of this, but remember, it took years. It took years, and it took a team, and it took steps.
Yeah.
It took process, and it took patience. And I think that that was really impactful for me to hear, to be reminded of that. Just because you're not seeing it today doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So just keep walking forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Community health centers have a long history of having to be innovative because, again, we have small amounts of money and large amounts of people that need the services. So all of those things that I learned from construction, working with a partner, redoing houses in a neighborhood, that kind of construction work, all of those kind of things were good background for what, you know, had to be done when I came here, because there was one doctor, one little narrow building. So it became a matter of looking at the number of people. Eastern North Carolina is one of the poorest places in the United States. This congressional district is somewhere around the 15th poorest in the country. So, I mean, you looked at the number of people here, and you looked at the census, which showed that there were like 5 Latinos in the county. And you could drive down the roads and see, you know, literally thousands of people working in the fields who are not even counted in the census. You can make a few phone calls to the health department, to the hospital system, and, you know, ask, do you have interpreters? What services do you provide these people? And, you know, the basic answer you got was, huh? Ooh. Not to mention all the other people in that area who really had limited access to services, too, because there was one doctor here.
Right? Yeah.
Wow.
And there was one private dentist, no behavioral health services at all. Mm. And that was a rather large challenge.
I love that. I thought that that interview with you and Doug was super special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he does a lot of work with the ag workers down there. But one of the other things that really stood out to me with Doug that I thought was super cool, and I didn't know this until, you know, the interview, was, you know, him being there for 25, almost 26 years, he started with one provider.
I know. Can you believe that?
Yeah. How dope is that? That was
so
really
shocking.
Cool. Yeah.
It's shocking.
Yeah. Well, and when you say it, when you put it that way, right, when you actually kind of quantify it, right, one provider versus where they are now and all of the specialties and all the programs that they provide and just the portfolio of services that they have, how expansive it is. I mean, when you boil it down to that was the beginning of it, it's really powerful. One provider, you guys, right?
Crazy.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It really is.
Yeah.
Doug's incredible, right? Doug's incredible. Mm-hmm. Doug's incredible to me because from someone that was, you know, from kind of, I don't know, I think he was like New Englandish, right? So he wasn't, I don't know, but it just occurred to me and I feel like he wasn't raised in a Latino community, but he, you know, got to, you know, North Carolina and felt like he was a part of this community almost immediately. At least that's the sense that I get. And so, I don't know, I think it's so cool that someone that comes from a totally different kind of space and time can feel so, have so much conviction, right? And work alongside this community that struggled, will continue to struggle for all of the known reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Inspiring. And his team, you guys, his team is fantastic. Just such a great group of individuals and human beings, right?
Yeah.
And the diversity is really, really, really inspiring. And it just, I don't know, when I went to visit the Community Health Center in Snow Hill, North Carolina, it was, I don't know, it's just, it felt very rural to me, right? And so driving out there, it was just a lot of beautiful North Carolina scenery. And then you get to this kind of like beacon of light, right? Like this community beacon and with all sorts of different people. It just was really, I don't know, it was kind of inspiring and humbling, right? It was really humbling. Yeah.
It's hard not to be inspired.
Yeah.
You know, when especially when you're like boots on the ground, which we miss very much and very much look forward to in the very near future, you know, being in person and stuff like that. But like to be boots on the ground and see where the work is being done.
Funny you should say that. So one of the outreach managers took me to where they actually went to do the outreach with the agricultural workers. And they lived in, it was like a tin house. It was really cold and drafty and it just looked like a warehouse where you would park a car, not actually have a human being live there.
Wow.
And these individuals, men and women, worked really hard, you know, in the fields and then they would come back and make their food and that was their existence for months and months. And so the outreach workers would go out into the fields. And I even heard stories of the outreach workers actually doing the work, you know, piscando, I don't know how to say that in English, but doing the work so that the workers could take a break and go get whatever exam they needed or, you know, check in with the provider that was there on site.
Wow.
Yeah. So they did whatever they had to do to ensure that that person was able to access a skilled professional that could help them through whatever it is that they were dealing with. That need was taken care of because of Doug, his commitment, and his group of talented, qualified, dedicated individuals and their commitment to help people that come into this country to do backbreaking work. So it was really inspiring.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as you guys know, my dad, right? He came over from Mexico and worked in the fields of Central mm-hmm. California for years. And he still works in agriculture. So I see that work and how it breaks down the body. Like that's the reality. It's hard work. So
definitely. Yeah.
And I knew that story was near and dear to your heart. So that was one of the things that really stood out to me in that particular interview.
Yeah.
Natasha.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great call out, Derek. I love it.
So Derek, I want to revisit your conversation with Brenda Ercolini. Mm. This was a leader that literally had their employee health benefits renewal paper signed and bravely paused to explore something new and innovative. I really want to hear more about that, Derek.
It's funny, you know, each of us play a little bit of a different role within Nonstop, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And marketing 101, create the demand, right? And so, you know, a lot of times, especially since we've had to pivot into this virtual environment, we made a lot of cold calls, sent a lot of emails, did a lot of virtual presentations and webinars and, you know, attended virtual conferences, et cetera. But, you know, calling someone in the middle of a pandemic, who's already signed on the dotted line and, you know, giving them the elevator pitch for 35 seconds. And it's always that pause after you kind of give them and then you pause to see what kind of response, how receptive, are they positive? Are you wasting my time? Did you put the phone down while I was talking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, Brenda being so brave to not only give me the time of day to tell her the kind of, you know, to share with her the kind of impact that we have been making within community health centers and nonprofits across the country, mm-hmm. but to say, okay, I want more information, but I want to bring in the rest of my leadership mm-hmm. team. And at that particular time, I did not know they had already signed on the dotted mm-hmm. line. So it was like kind of, you know, it got better as the conversations continued. But I think that really speaks to the intent mm-hmm. behind a leader that truly cares about their organization. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just the organization in the sense of, you know, the bottom line. But I remember, you know, in additional conversations that we had with Brenda, where she shared that even prior to her being with her organization, you know, with the community health center, that as an HR leader, she always wanted to find ways to improve the work-life balance and the benefits and just the atmosphere and the level of engagement with her employees and the organizations that she was responsible for. Mm-hmm. And so I had to continuously smile every time I talked to Brenda because it was always kind of like, well, huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it was all those aha moments as we continued down the pipeline of, you know, really doing the savings analysis and learning more about her employee population and, you know, the community they serve down there in Louisiana. It was just one pleasant surprise after another. And it doesn't always go like that. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. You know, we have some unfortunate hiccups here and there. And, you know, that was a success story that I think I will probably share for quite some time to come.
The pandemic, yes, that kind of took everyone by surprise. We did not see that coming at all. We had our initial plans for the year. You know, we have our 5-year strategic plan. And so at the beginning of the year, we get everyone, you know, pumped up and ready to go for the year. And yes, so that did kind of take us by surprise. But, you know, our leadership here, we are very agile. You know, if we have something coming towards us, okay, we see it, we got it. And this is what we're going to do to work with it.
Yeah, that was a beautiful story. I loved that one. Derek, and the personal connection that you two had just shined through on that episode. That was a real joy to speak with her and to see you two bounce off of each other. It was really great.
I mean, her energy is high. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, the three of us on this call, our teams and, you know, throughout the rest of the organization, you know, you find leaders that are, you know, in one of a few buckets, not cookie cutter. You can't put everybody in a box, but, you know, it's either they are, you know, at bandwidth capacity, and even if they wanted to make change, they just can't mm-hmm. take it on. There are those that, you know, are okay with status quo. And those aren't really the people that we, those, you know, that we mesh with the most all the time. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there are those that are like, they're change makers. They're here to shake some things up and, you know, really flip, you know, status quo in its head. Mm-hmm. And she's one of them. And I really enjoyed working with her and of course, having that conversation as well.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, Les, one of your cool interviews that you had was one of our faves.
Yeah.
Miss Cheryl Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was incredible.
Yeah. You know, I'm not even going to deny it. I'm a big fan of Cheryl's.
Yeah.
We all are. You know, she exemplifies, I think, strength and power with compassion, which is really tough. It's a tough balance, but I always think about that Brené Brown quote, to be clear is to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think Cheryl is. And so, speaking of quotes, she's like the quote master. I mean, I couldn't even, I probably broke my pencil during this episode because there was just so many quotes flying by. It was hard to capture all of them. One of the things that she said that really stuck with me is that people are not just the tasks that they do.
You know, people are not just the tasks they do. Everybody has a role in the organization, and otherwise you wouldn't have hired them in the first place if their job wasn't important, right? There wouldn't be a human in that job. So to try to minimize the significance or the importance of someone's job because they're over here or not over there really is a disservice to their work in the organization. So yes, I make a point of making sure that my team specifically sees how the work we do fits into the entire organization.
And she expanded on that to say, you really need to show value to employees by sharing how each of their positions connects to the success of an organization as a whole. And that leads to everyone, you know, appreciating each other for what each other does and how we all fit together. And, you know, this is coming from a CFO. So having your billing department know how that they fit into that whole, you know, machine to make it run smoothly. I mean, it's great. I mean, I love it. I'm going to have to highlight another quote of hers because this one spoke to me so deeply too. And this one was kind of personal. The way that we treat people at work will impact how they go home and parent and partner. You know, I know we've all had our own experiences where maybe we haven't been treated kindly or we had just a horrible experience, you know, and it's just like trying not to take that stuff home. You know, it's really important for leaders to listen and take note of that and know that we have to create safe spaces for people to work. And if we're going to ask them to show up as their whole self, we actually have to create an environment where people can actually do that. You know, it's not just a lip service thing.
So it's interesting. We're all big Cheryl fans, and it's really sort of impossible not to be because she comes from so many different disciplines, right? Mm-hmm. So it's practically a practical, really good leader, right? A functional, strong leader. She's knowledgeable. She's an academic. And one of the things that I really like about her is that she is also humble enough to talk about her humble beginnings, right? And mm-hmm. and how she was a single mom and remembers driving home to her son and feeling maybe not so great about her job or how she was treated, to your point, and how that bled into her personal life. And so I think what really was powerful for me was this notion of feeling unsafe in your personal life because you're surviving and you're just hit from all sorts of, you know, places, right? So you're single mom, mm-hmm. you're struggling economic. And listen, I'm a single mom, right? And then to go to work and it be an unsafe place, you're only ever going to operate from a place of survival at that point. It's never going to be authentically empowered or creative or willing, you know, willingness to connect and collaborate with other human beings. And so I think that she really just boiled it down to the essence of what it is to be a good leader. And that's to be a good human to the people that work for you. I really love that you brought that up a lot.
Yeah.
The other thing that I really love about that show was when she said that leadership isn't about us, full stop. Leadership is about creating the leaders of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like we could probably take 20 quotes from that episode. It's so good. You know,
maybe 30.
You may be 30. Yeah, this is great. Thanks for bringing that one up, Derek.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think We have our favorites. Not necessarily that any of the leaders that we talk to or any of the clients that we work with are favorites, but like there are those that we talk to regularly for a variety sure. of reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the pleasure and privilege of, you know, sometimes being a liaison for somebody who serves as a reference, or, you know, we happen to communicate with them about, you know, their open enrollment, whatever the case may be. Like we mm-hmm. work in different capacities, but Michelle Otley is one that we cross paths with often.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation as well. And I again, how the team has collaboratively constructed Benefits Like a Boss to be so inclusive, it provides an opportunity to share the awareness and the experiences of leaders. And somebody like Michelle, I think, you know, we joked on the last conversation, I think we kind of, you know, are headed in the direction of a talk show, the way she yeah. just engages audiences with her personality and her experience.
People are so used to not being listened to. When you go and say, hey, you know, in that meeting a week ago, you said so-and-so, they look at you like, uh-huh, like what? Like, am I in trouble? You heard that? And you're like, no, I thought it was a really great idea. Talk to me about it. Mm. And people are blown because one, you heard them. And two, you thought it was important enough to kind of have that conversation with them. And being in a leadership role, when you do that, people are even more blown that you thought it was important enough. And so then you get more information. Then you get more buy-in. Then you get others that say, well, I talked to so-and-so and they said that you, and it's like, oh yeah, you've got ideas. So come on, tell me what your ideas are. And it really makes the work easy. It makes it fun. It makes it collaborative. Mm-hmm. And again, my blueprint is in pencil.
Yep.
So I still have time to go in and, you know, make some changes based on other collaborations that I have with people. So being a leader is not about talking. And I love to talk. But being a leader is about listening and yeah. learning to listen with intent. Mm-hmm. When you take in those words, when you take in that feeling, when you absorb that energy, what does that mean? Being present for your people is being a leader.
Yeah, I have to confess something to you guys. Uh-oh. So yes, we did the podcast, and yes, of course it was phenomenal. And yes, of course there were 152 takeaways, right?
Yeah.
And yes, of course I almost had to test our benefits because my arm broke because I was writing so fast. Almost had to test our own deductible. Oh, Kaiser's down the street, so I'm okay. But I talked to Michelle a lot. And so, yes, the podcast, but like, yes, every interaction with her
right.
is something that changes your day, your week, your month, even.
Every time.
When we're talking about the way that we approach work, when we're talking about strategizing, when we're talking about leadership, when we talk about how to do something better and more efficiently and effectively, Michelle has some really good, I kind of think like guiding lights.
Yes.
She shines these spotlights on the problem and then helps you get to that place of resolution and just kind of strategy, right? Sustainable strategy that is empathetic, but it's also really business minded, right? It walks that really mm-hmm. beautiful line of being effective yet really sort of humane. But more than anything, it's really insightful, right? It's just solid business practices and yeah. strategies that are just, you know, so every time I talk to her, right, not just the podcast, yeah. but it's every conversation that I have with her, I walk away feeling like I could do my job just a little bit better or interact with my colleagues just a little bit more effectively or, mm-hmm. you know, serve my clients just that, you know, tick it up a little. So, but since we're talking about podcasts, one of the things that I really liked that we talked about was this notion of, you know, machine and man, right? And finding that mm-hmm. line.
Yes.
Of course, we have to automate our processes, but we also yeah. have to have human eyes and hands on the process mm-hmm. because we can't ever extract one from the other. We have to find that blended marriage that works for our organization, of course, but you've got to do it. Right. That's just the way it is. Right. Because it's a cost saving measure. It's the most effective way to do business. And so you just have to figure out how to give your folks the tools mm-hmm. and then find the right tools, procure the right tools that are going to do the business in your business. And so I really appreciated that conversation, especially because at that time, Nonstop was relaunching our ticketing system. Mm-hmm. So it made a lot of sense to me. It was really relevant in that moment.
That's right.
But, you know, talking about how to find the right vendor. right? How to find the right vendor. How do you interview them? What questions do you ask? Your investment is going to be huge. So you've got to find the right company, the right product that's going to work for you. Again, business 101, but like she talked about it and it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really like the right partner. And I think that speaks to how she operates with us. And when her and Derek are presenting together, you know, when you and her are speaking, I mean, she really treats us like a true partner.
Yeah.
And some of the best things that I love about Michelle is just her commitment to her people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's wonderful to see in such a high position of leadership. It's just, it's really great.
Yeah.
And one of the quotes that I hear her say often, I love it when she says it because it's like the first time you've heard it every time she says it, but being intentional. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the most grounding quotes that we can hear any time of the day, any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That no matter what we're going through, when you hear someone say, be intentional, whether it's a peer or a, you know, your direct report, or you know, your manager, when you hear the words be intentional, it has such a warm feeling to it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, that just speaks to who she is as a person, as a professional, and as a leader within, you know, their organization and how she interacts with us.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, I just had a thought. So, okay. So Doug, Cheryl, and Michelle, they're really just fantastic, phenomenal leaders. We can't say enough about each individual. But as we're talking about them, a commonality is that they, each one of them, don't take themselves so seriously. They laugh really easily and they're able to get down with like, well, I didn't do that great. I mean, you know, the credit actually goes to that person. Yeah. And like Michelle's laugh is infectious. And then of course, Cheryl's sense of humor and you know, everyone and then Doug, right? So that's kind of, it's the levity that they bring too, right? It's not just like all of this big work that they bring into the room and they just lug it in and we're like, oh my God. They're just fun and funny and humanizing and relatable and quick to say, I didn't do that well, but that person did. And I'm going to, you know, and, you know, here we have, academics and, you know, professionals in the sector and, you know, experts, and they're just so relatable. And so that's kind of something that I wanted to call out is that it's so fun to talk about them and to actually talk with them because you don't, you know, you're just talking to another person that's really relatable and honest and open. I love that.
And you know what's funny, Natasha? Those are the conversations where it's like, damn, we could have gone 45 minutes more.
Yeah. 100%. I think we were even talking 100%. To Michelle about having a second episode. I mean, we were like, oh, we're not going to get everything done here. I mean, easily. And, you know, I think when you talk about relatability, you know, just the way Brendia and Derek connected as well. I feel like those leaders, like we stumble across them and we just find this. I don't know what it's like magic sometimes, you know, like Derek said, he's just like, it's really lovely.
It's like a chemistry, right? It's like a chemistry. We should start a Tinder for professionals. Oh my God. Like I would totally swipe on all of these leaders and just like hang out with them. Is that weird?
I don't know. But gosh. Like say it real loud and LinkedIn may include it in their next section.
Yeah. Oh. Oh my gosh.
You like what we did there?
Yeah.
Shameless plug. Non-stop, don't stop. Let's go.
I better get paid for that.
Oh my gosh, you guys are hysterical. I'm going to pivot us just a little bit because I'm having a lot of fun like chatting about these leaders and laughing and stuff. And I'm going to take us to an emotional place now. So you guys brace yourselves a little bit, okay?
Okay.
You know, our last episode with Chris Stoner-Mertz, honestly, this one was so emotional for me. It was a true, true highlight of my year. My heart was full. I cried like 72 times.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say enough just how grateful that I am to work with all of the associations that, you know, Derek and I get to work with across the country. And, you know, Natasha, that you have worked with so much. I know your role has shifted slightly in the organization, but you are fully aware of those special relationships when we find leaders. You know, like Chris in the California Alliance for Child and Family Services, just wonderful. You know, the whole staff there really, but that's just because, you know, Chris has done an exceptional job of building a warm and effective team. And I loved that episode.
Another maybe a little personal story. my husband and I met at an organization we worked at, and he had a strong relationship with one of the youth there. And when she got to be in her early 20s, she contacted us and was really struggling. She had 3 children by the time she was in her early 20s and was in an abusive relationship. And so, you know, we huddled and said, what do we do? At that point, we had one of our own kids and one on the way. And we said, you know, we do what we do. We bring her in and we help her. And so she and her 3 kids lived with us for a little bit. And then eventually we helped her get a place. One of her children had significant education challenges and ultimately ended up staying with us during the week. And eventually we became his guardian. But they are our extended family and always have been. We were making Thanksgiving plans the other day.
Yeah.
And I learn something new from them all the time. Because they have a worldview that I do not necessarily have to. I have much more privilege in the world for all a range of reasons, but I learn from them every day.
I cried as well. And yeah. Because the subject matter, what we were touching upon, was so difficult.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm just going to call it out. A lot of injustices. We talked about, vulnerable populations. We talked about kids. We talked about, the chronic homeless population. We talked about a lot of things that really sort of exemplified kind of the hardest human conditions, right?
Yeah.
That people live through and just basically have to crawl their way through until they get to the other side. Mm-hmm. And then you see this champion, this woman that has dedicated her life to making systemic changes so that people feel taken care of as they're walking through the darkest time of their life.
Yeah.
And it was really powerful to hear how her parents literally made her, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they were the mold. They were the foundation that created this sort of exceptional champion. And when she talks about kind of having to build these political collaborations and have to kind of fight for systemic change through various avenues, it just, again, when we talk about it, change doesn't happen overnight. It really doesn't happen in the policy realm overnight.
Yeah.
And so just this kind of voracious dedication to just keep the fight anew every day. Mm-hmm. So again, these changes can happen kind of at the policy level, and then hopefully it trickles down in a way that's impactful and it manifests in very real change at the institutional level. Her drive and her desire to do that was inspiring.
Yeah.
To say the least.
You know, Natasha, it's these conversations that remind us why we do what we do and who we do it for.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. Yeah.
Yeah.
The organizations within the not-for-profit sector are truly the backbone of our communities across the country. And Leslie, we're working with nearly a couple of dozen associations across the country. And
Derek, we're up to 30 now.
See, look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. How dare you? How dare you?
Wow. You guys.
Shortchange us. Yeah. But no, but that's an example of what I mean. You know, like, we touch so many people that touch so many lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, that conversation with Chris, it's hard not to be emotional, because I think all of us can see an element of who we are and who our families are and others in our community that look like you and I, sound like you and I, have experiences like you and I. We've been through some of those in some form or fashion.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And
for sure,
to not be emotional, I think, is you really weren't listening.
Yeah.
You know, so again, I have to, you know, applaud the efforts of our leadership team for allowing us to have the pleasure and privilege of having these very emotional conversations that I think, again, adds extra opportunity to bring awareness to some of the associations and the clients that we work with.
Mm-hmm. Very nicely said, Derek. Yeah. I love that.
I totally love that too. Derek, there was something that you said that was really compelling to me, and it had to do with the fact, speaking about Chris, was that we talked a lot about retention and retainment, right? Going back to what we do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say something that might be controversial or not. I don't know. But the people that do this work, right? Whether you're a caseworker, whether you work training foster families, whether you work in a group home, whether you're a court advocate, whether you work at a food bank, if you're working at a First Five early education, mm-hmm. right? A school,
yep.
Whatever, you're probably not getting paid a lot. Right. And that to me is one of the biggest injustices that we have,
right.
Is that kind of this misallocation of like funds. Right. I think teachers are a national treasure, and we all know what that looks like. Yep. Right. And so
sure.
For an organization, an association that fights day and night, right, to bring opportunity and resources to the individuals, Derek, to your point, that are the backbone of our mm-hmm. society.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And in many, many cases, the backbone of a family that is on the fritz of falling apart, right? And then that caseworker comes in and provides yeah. the resources for the lights and the food, mm-hmm. right, and the transportation. And then they have to go home and they have to be economically insecure.
Yes.
Right.
Right? So can we just talk about that, right? Like the power of that association and what they're trying to do for the people that are doing the work.
Oh,
right. And you know, that I love that you amplified that, Natasha, because most people that I've met, either be it Nonstop or, you know, nonprofits that I may have crossed paths before Nonstop, they're not doing this for the money.
Yeah, right.
But it doesn't make it any easier.
Right.
Natasha.
Yeah.
So like it doesn't make it right. It doesn't right. make it okay.
Yeah.
And I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the reasons why I love being able to have these conversations where we're giving them a voice.
Right. Oh, yes.
We're celebrating them.
100%.
That's yeah. You know what I mean? Because they are the true heroes in the communities that we live and work in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Could you guys even imagine what our communities would look like without nonprofits?
No.
I mean, mm-hmm. could you even imagine?
Mm-hmm. No.
What that would look like? I mean, it would be the saddest, most bleak reality that a human could imagine.
Hands down. Hands down.
Thankfully, we don't.
No. But we all have to do our part to advocate on behalf of the nonprofits. We do our work at Nonstop.
Amen.
Right? And so maybe that this podcast will serve that a little bit. We'll serve it up for some folks that are on, you know, the edge. It's do what you have to do in order to support a nonprofit that is close to you because they need you.
That's a quote. We're going to use that. And that'll be a conversation for 2022, Natasha.
Yeah, let's do it. Feel passionate about it, you guys.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I would do this more often if we could.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I love it. Talking about nonprofits, there's a nonprofit that is our client.
There you go.
In San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And that's Westside Community Services. And I don't know if y'all have spent time in Silicon Valley or San Francisco, but unfortunately, it is the absolute valley of have and have nots, right? Mm,
yes.
This is the home of the international kind of conglomerates, right? That just own the globe, Google, Facebook, Apple. I don't need to say more. And there's lots of those scattered throughout, you know, the peninsula and in San Francisco. And as you can imagine, there's a whole group of folks from all sort of sectors of society that are having a really difficult time making it. And they may be struggling with chronic substance abuse disorders or mental health issues or food insecurity or all of it and much more. And one of the leaders that we haven't talked about yet is Darlene. She was one of our first podcasters that came on. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about heroes, when we talk about someone that gets in there, you know, we got to talk about Darlene, mm-hmm. you know, every day. She's in it. She's in the epicenter, in the middle of the most expensive real estate market
yes.
in the country, yes. right? Still recruiting people to work in the facilities that they run, still inspiring her staff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they do it in areas. I don't know if you spend a lot of time in San Francisco, but there's some really gritty areas, right? Like the Tenderloin, for instance, and various other places. And she does so every day with a smile on her face and with conviction in her gut. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I thought that that was a really cool podcast as well. It was one of the first ones and it stuck with me. It stuck with me because of her bravery.
So Westside does have different programs. Two that come to mind that really go into the social justice part is our African-American Man Up Collaborative. And basically that brings the voices of African-American men to provide in hopes of having some positive changes in the delivery system in their traumatic African-American community. So basically they're able to have to access to what they really need into the community. And so program teaches on how low-income families to make them aware of the benefits of the ACA and connect them with enrollment information and assistance. Another program we have is called NOVA. And NOVA basically addresses the individuals that have been incarcerated that are getting ready to be released, and they're able to find housing if they need housing. They get group, they get substance abuse help, any type of services that they need. They try to work together with the case manager to come together and create a plan. It had such a great success, a plan that the Sheriff's Department in San Francisco really works with us one-on-one. And one of the biggest goals is to make sure that that individual doesn't go back into the system.
What'd you think, Les?
Let's be honest. Like, we didn't know what we were doing back then. I mean, I didn't even know what a microphone was. So the fact that she was brave enough to say, yes, I'm going to do this with you because this is cool.
For sure.
I thought, wow, okay. Like, of course you're saying yes to this, because that's typically the types of leaders that we do connect with are these innovators and, you know, warm people.
Yeah.
They're driven and, you know, all of those things are who Darlene is. And so she was very gracious to come on and be one of the first. And it was a really wonderful conversation. And I'm super grateful to have gotten to know her. And it was wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. It really kicked it off, right? And she was so patient with us, right?
Because so patient.
And really open and gracious. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate her time. And so, again, when I think about nonprofits, right, I think about Westside and what they're doing. And as an HR leader, she's just doing it. So,
absolutely. Well, you guys, this has been so much fun. I feel like the three of us should be on every episode now.
I agree.
I'll have my people talk to your people.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, because we end every episode with these rapid fire questions, let's ask each other three questions today. Are you guys game for that?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to go first. And Derek, I'm going to start off with you.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. Everybody deep breath. All right, Derek, a question I would like to ask you is, what brings you joy?
Oh, my kids. My kids bring me joy. I mean, I know that that might sound corny or cliche, but I'll just be honest. Like, just watching my kids be happy, or even when they're sad, it still brings me joy, because it's watching the growth happen like live and in real time. So, you know, like right now I've got the 18 month and I've got the 7-year-old and I've got the 10-year-old and they're all in different phases. And that brings me joy right now.
Yeah.
I love that you said that. All three of us are parents, so we can all relate to each other. And I love it when you have Parker on. It just brings me joy too in my day. So I love seeing her show up.
My ovaries thump a little. I'm like, I'm like, oh, I kind of want a baby.
I'm going to tell your partner.
Watch how you say that.
I know. Yeah. I said that really quiet. He's in the other room. I whispered it.
Yeah.
You did kind of whisper that. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
I'm calling Eric later. No.
Right. That's funny.
Oh my gosh. All right. So Derek, another question I'd love to hear is, who's your hero?
Ooh, my mom.
Oh my God. Yeah. I knew you were going to say that. I love it.
I think it's probably tough for any of us not to say that. I mean, I can cliche say somebody that was a celebrity or an athlete, but like, nah, like, you know, to have gone through what she has and then dealt with a knucklehead like me as a son, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, she's definitely my hero, hands down.
Mm. Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah.
So what's one thing that you're really grateful for right now?
Wow, that's tough. It's funny. I watched an IG video the other day where this kid was, I must have been like the Thanksgiving table, and he had an emotional moment where they were all saying what they were grateful for, and he broke down and he was crying. And I'm just, it's so good. And, you know, but he was serious. It wasn't like, you know,
yeah.
The rest of the family were around kind of looking at each other and like laughing, but he truly was emotional. And honestly, yeah. I'm grateful that I'm healthy. My family is healthy, that mm-hmm. I have a great job, and, you know, I have a roof over my head. With clean running yeah. water and electricity. It sounds corny, but I mean, so many people around the world don't have that right now.
That's right.
So, you know, I think the bare necessities and having health and life is kind of, you know, a grateful way that I start my day every day.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know, have breath in my lungs and to be able to see and stand up and engage with lovely people like you and do what we do every day for the communities that, you know, our clients serve. So that's kind of like my mantra every morning, because it could be very different and it's not. And I'm grateful to God. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really beautiful.
Thanks.
It's not corny at all.
Yeah.
I love that you said that.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So much. Yeah.
So, Natasha, I'm going to go to you.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the word vulnerability, what do you think of?
I think that none of us are, I think the word is impervious.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are immune to hardship. It was raining. It's raining in California. And I looked out the window and I was in my kitchen and it was windy and it's raining. It's really cold. And I thought to myself, I really hope that all the people that don't have a house right now are able to keep warm. And earlier that day, I went to the grocery store and I paid for the groceries. Didn't think twice. You know, my kid was wanting, I don't even know. Right. And then I got in my car and I thought, oh my God, I feel so lucky that I didn't have to worry about it. Right. Cause there were times in my life, especially when my baby was a baby and things in my life were really hard. I had to literally count the groceries and I only had enough for very little. And now I don't have to think twice about it. When I'm buying groceries, I buy what I need to buy for my family. And so I know what it's like to be vulnerable. I was vulnerable so many times in my life and I don't quite feel it now. And I'm a little bit older, a little bit more resourced, but none of us are immune to hardship.
Truth.
And none of us are immune to anything that would bring us to our knees. And so I think that along with vulnerability, there needs to be the conversation about compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So just because I'm not feeling vulnerable right now doesn't mean I don't know what it feels like. And it doesn't mean that I can't feel so much compassion for people that are vulnerable right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Natasha, it's hard for me not to go into one of these other two questions that I have lined up specifically for you. So I'm going to go in this direction simply because I feel like we're kind of already there, but then we'll end on a very much lighter and happier.
Okay.
When I first met Natasha, quick story, they told me she walks around and she sprinkles little fairy dust everywhere she goes.
So I believe that.
Yeah, like I truly think about that every time I know that I'm having a conversation with Natasha. But anyway, here's a quick question. What would you say is your soul's mission in life?
To make my grandparents proud.
Oh.
And if you guys will just indulge me really quickly, my father's side came from Mexico and my grandfather was orphaned at a very young age. My great grandfather was actually murdered for land. My grandfather had to raise his sisters. And at, I think, like 9 or 10 in kind of this beautiful kind of like harsh land in Jalisco, Mexico. And he did so by training horses. So here's this young man training horses, backbreaking work, brave, courageous to put food on the table for his little sisters. And then my mother's side comes from Uruguay and my grandparents fled a desperate situation in Uruguay, political upheaval. And my grandfather, I'm going to cry, Juan Canessa, he came to the United States not knowing any English and he knew that he had to work for his family and bring them from Uruguay. So He worked his hands to the bone. And when my family actually got to leave Uruguay and they got to the United States, he became a truck driver. So a man from a small South American country, not knowing any English, gets in a truck with the big country in front of him, not knowing where he's going, not knowing the language, but he knew he had to drive into the dark and into the light to feed his family. So I want to make them proud because they sacrificed everything to get to this country, and they sacrificed everything to make sure that my parents had enough. And then my parents didn't have it much better. They had to learn English. When my mom got to this country, she worked as a hotel cleaner and an office cleaner. My dad worked in the fields in Central California, and they did everything that they could to give me the opportunity. So I want to make my grandparents and my parents really proud and to let them know that all of their work, their blood, their sweat, and their tears built a human being that is intent on helping other human beings.
You're doing a phenomenal job.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Man, I kind of knew coming off of the previous question going into that one, it was going to be a little emotional.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. It was one of those things. The question screamed Natasha. So I was like, you know what? If anybody's going to answer this one, it had to be you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm also thanking you for that.
I appreciate that.
Because I think that these are the conversations that I think people need to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
What's one thing that you're excited about right now?
One of the things I'm excited about, honestly, is just, this is going to sound really cheesy, but like having fun. I don't know, like going to dinner with my girlfriends and,
yeah,
or like visiting family or just doing something social and fun.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I just seeing you guys, right? Being on the road again.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Getting on a Southwest flight, you know, having a cocktail.
Nope.
You know
what I'm
saying? Oh, no. Oh, yeah. God.
Keep Southwest. But I'm with you. I'll meet you in the airport.
Okay.
But,
oh, God. Yeah. Okay. All right.
No shade Southwest.
I get it. That just being social again and feeling okay in the moment, not like, oh, my God, am I going to get the plague? You know, doing the thing, doing the human thing, man, because I'm an extrovert. Mm-hmm. So this has been really hard on me.
I think we all are to a degree.
Yeah.
You know, in some form
for
fashion.
Sure.
I think some of us are more so than others, but you know.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
For sure.
I'm somewhere in the middle. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feed off of these conversations and I feed off of, you know, engaging with, you know, people like you, Natasha. So I'm with you loud and clear. And I would second that notion, you know, having fun and seeing people and hugging people.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So I have a couple questions for a very special person by the name of Leslie.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Are you ready?
I think that's me.
Yeah, that's
I think
you.
That's me, everyone.
That's you.
I'm ready.
Listen, I want to really know, because I see you as a leader, right? I see you as you led the charge through this. You are inspiring. You're also really a calming force, but I want to hear from you. What do you think your best leadership qualities are?
Ooh, man, this is tough because, you know, I always struggle. Feels like you're complimenting yourself, you know, which I guess you are in a way, which always feels a little awkward.
You deserve it, though, but you deserve it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. I think hopefully my ability to listen and to relate and be compassionate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That might be three. So maybe I overcomplimented myself, but
nope. Perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
I also want to know something. Who are your heroes?
Mm. Ooh, man. Oh gosh. Now I'm going to get emotional, you guys.
Do it. I did it. It's fine.
I definitely, my mom, hands down.
Yeah.
You know, she was a single mom and she raised us two girls, and my mom sacrificed a lot for us to have what we did have. She always put us kids first. And I feel like something that my grandma taught my mom, which my mom taught us kids, is that, you know, everyone deserves a chance in life, and we need to be kind and loving and I don't know, open to people and their stories. And I'm really grateful for that. And then secondly, you know, I'd have to say my wife, because, you know, she is someone that came into my life later, and she's probably the first person, I mean, aside from, you know, of course, my mom, but first person that really I can just be who I am around her without judgment, and feels really good and really calming and really stable. And I'm super, super grateful for her.
I love that. I was really close to my grandmother, my mom's mom. She was my best friend, my soulmate. And so when you say that, it feels right. I feel it.
Yeah.
I get it. I love that. I love that so much, Leslie. Listen, if you could go anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
I'm talking like your dream spot. Where would you take your wife right now?
Oh my gosh. That's a really tough one. Because I want to go to somewhere warm.
Yeah.
But then I also want to go to London, England. And I know that sounds a little, maybe a little trite and a little ridiculous, but the reason I want to go there and take her there specifically is she used to work there and she was a nurse there. And so I want to see what her history was there with where she lived in her 20s and traveled around. And so I'm a little torn, and, you know, Derek just had a beautiful vacation in the Dominican Republic. Oh. And so all that warm air flowing around him when I talked to him, I was like, oh, man, that looked beautiful, too. So I'm a little torn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you decide, let me know. I'll dream about it.
Yeah. When we're able to freely go places. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you guys, this was so wonderful. You were both just so talented, and I definitely could not do this without you guys. You guys carry the heavy load of, you know, just conversation and thoughtfulness. And I am so grateful to get to do this with both of you. It's just been a really fun year of learning, of stress, of meeting new people. Just thank you guys so much for your time this year.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. Pleasure and a privilege. Again, I am humbled and honored to be amongst greatness in the work that we do.
Yeah.
For the clients that we work with and support.
Yes.
In the communities that they serve.
Mm-hmm.
So to have these conversations really touches me in a way that I don't think everyone will truly understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it's
personal.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, nicely said, you guys, and everyone else who has joined us. Thank you so much for your time throughout this year. All three of us and everyone at Nonstop are wishing you a successful next year. And we're going to look forward to more episodes in the future in 2022. So we hope that you will come join us. And I think we're just going to leave you with this. Please take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you, you guys. Yes.
I had to have some fun.
I loved it. Thank you.
Benefits like a boss.
Today's episode was supported by Nonstop Administration and Insurance Services. Nonstop believes that healthcare should be affordable and accessible. If employee health benefits are a workforce or financial challenge for your organization, visit us at nonstopwellness.com.